letters can clear up a lot of misunderstandings, especially if the writer's name is Paul and the recipients of the letter have an address called Corinth, Greece. Repeatedly, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is having to clear up one misunderstanding after another. And it seems that when he's writing to the church in Corinth, they're kind of going, say what? What is this guy talking about? They're having trouble getting a sense of what St. Paul is saying. And here today, in the passage from 1 Corinthians 15, which, by the way, is the longest chapter in the whole of the New Testament, dealing with the theme of the resurrection, St. Paul is having to clear up another misunderstanding. Because here they were now Corinthians and they were Christians, but they were still saying, you know what, when we die, that's it. Lights out, game over, door shut, slam it shut, lock it, there's nothing after death. And word got back to St. Paul that this was the talk going around at the coffee table in the Corinthian church. And so he is needing now to say, hold on a minute, friends. Think about what you're saying. And as Paul so often does with his brilliant mind, he puts together a logical argument that here is like a domino effect. So here's the point he's saying. If, as you claim, when lights are out, they're it, there is nothing more, think about the implications of this. Domino number one, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. Second domino falls. If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain. Third domino falls. If our proclamation has been in vain, then your faith has been in vain. And the fourth domino, if your faith has been in vain, we have been misrepresenting God because we declared he raised Christ from the dead. St. Paul is saying, without belief in the resurrection of the body, then what we are doing now in the present is absolutely futile. If there is no resurrection, sorry, no confessions tomorrow at 3:30. We don't need them because we're still in our sins. If there's no resurrection, when people call up for a funeral, we'll say, sorry, we're not doing funerals here any longer because there is no resurrection from the dead. There's no need for them. Without the resurrection of the body, take down the altar. There's no need for the Mass. If the dead are not raised, St. Paul says in one of his most poignant lines, if for this life only, we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Amazing line. We are the most of all people to be pitied if the dead are not raised. But Paul says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of all those who have died. We cannot get away from the historicity of the resurrection. It is the hinge on which everything stands. It is the very center of our faith. It was the center of the faith for Pope Cornelius and Bishop Cyprian in the 3rd century as they were dealing not with this theme so much of the resurrection of the body, but those who wanted to tear the church apart. That there was a priest by the name of Novician who said, I want to be Pope, and wanted to get rid of Cornelius. But Cyprian, the bishop in Carthage, North Africa, came to the aid of his friend Cornelius, and thankfully the papacy was secured. But both Cornelius and Cyprian were martyred in the 250s during the persecution of Decian, that rotten emperor. I want to now share with you, though, a quote, not from a letter that Cyprian wrote to Cornelius to encourage him, but this is a quote that comes from earlier in Cyprian's life. He grew up a pagan. He grew up a man of great financial means. He was a professor. He was an intellectual. But he was not a Christian. And listen to what he says about his own experience of life upon his conversion. Quoting Cyprian, I was entangled in the 1,000 errors of my previous life. I did not think I could get free of them, for I was so much a slave of my vices. And I had such complacence in the evils which had been my constant companions. But the regenerating water washed me from the stains of my previous life, and a light from on high shone into my heart, and it purified corruptions that were deep within. And the Spirit coming from heaven changed me into a new man by a second birth. And immediately, in a wonderful way, I saw certitude take the place of doubt. Certitude taking the place of doubt. The certitude that St. Paul had. The certitude that Cyprian had. The certitude that we are all to have. And so I ask you this morning, is belief in the resurrection the dominant magnet of your life? Is belief in the resurrection for you as fundamental to your daily existence as it was for St. Paul, as it was for Cyprian? Or are you like so many moderns, hedging your bets, fingers crossed, saying, I hope it's true, but I really don't know for sure? St. Paul would say to us, the resurrection, everything hinges on it. The resurrection is that very aspect of our faith that we are to rekindle with a certitude so that we can indeed remember that we do not believe a delusion. We believe the truth. We are not to be pitied above all people. We are to be, in a sense, esteemed, not because of ourselves, but because of the one in whom we believe. The overall meaning of our lives finds its focus, a focus we say every Sunday at Mass when we conclude the Nicene Creed with these words, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen.